Hello and welcome back to another podcast from Mind Health Development. Christmas is almost upon us, and today's episode is looking at enjoying the spirit of Christmas. And the three of us here have been discussing ways on how to have a Christmas to remember for all the right reasons. So, Glenn and Rick, what are your tips for this?
We get asked this question annually, don't we, Rick? And I know last week you covered managing the stress of Christmas, didn't you? In my absence, another thing we get asked annually. We can utilize so many of those famous plus fours that the podcasts are becoming famous for now at Christmas, and we can create not only great new positive memories, positive DVDs about Christmases, and so we can look forward to future Christmases, but just having a great picture in our mind about what Christmas is going to look like, visualizing that Christmas, not only increases our chance of having a good Christmas, but makes us feel more positive about it. And as you guys know, it can be a very stressful time. So if we've got a few things we can pin a good Christmas on that we know we can succeed in, then we increase our chances of having a truly wonderful time amongst the busyness and the stress. We can really love that Christmas, and you know, and use that as a foundation for other Christmases to come. Rick?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely bang on there, Glenn. And you've mentioned plus fours. And I think there's two in particular that are worthy of merit here. When we were talking about the stress of Christmas, we were talking about mini projects breaking stuff down. But when it comes to the spirit of Christmas, I think there's two things. One is altruism, kind acts. I think this is absolutely the time of year to think about other people. And we know, again, from the podcast that we talked about altruism, about how good we feel about ourselves when we do the right thing. So you mentioned when we were chatting the other day about how important it is, if you're buying Christmas cards, buy them from a charity. Because then you feel that somebody else is benefiting. It is a kind act.
Everybody wins with charity cards, don't they, Rick?
Absolutely. There are no losers here. Obviously, people will think about present buying. I think it's really important to remember that, you know, we did allude earlier in the previous podcast about not racking up a whole load of debt. Small presents are fine. It's a token. It's a token that you've remembered somebody at that time of year.
Yeah.
But there are lots of other kind acts. When we look at the community, for example, Glenn, you know, I think we probably all know somebody who perhaps lives on their own.
There are TV adverts I've been seeing recently about lonely people, usually elderly people, not always elderly people, but usually elderly people who are particularly lonely because their friends have passed away, their families have passed away, or their family or the younger people in their families have moved away. So Christmas has got to be twice as hard as the rest of the year.
It is, Glenn, because it is a time for families. And there will also, of course, be, as you rightly point out, somebody who perhaps has had a recent bereavement, or even a bereavement since the last Christmas.
Oh, terrible.
So it will be the first Christmas that somebody important in their life is not there. And if we reach out to those people, in the true spirit of Christmas, invite them round for a drink, possibly even to share your Christmas lunch with, or even getting out in the community. Can you help out?
You know what, Rick? I think this is really useful, but don't wait till Christmas to invite them. Invite them now so they've got it to look forward to. I would put a slight caveat on that. I don't know what you two guys think. Now, I'm all about being generous and being kind. I do like my own time with my family. I would find it much easier to do if I was able to say to that person, this is going to sound really cruel now, but I'd like you to come around for a drink before Christmas dinner or a drink after Christmas dinner, but I do like to have this time alone with my family. You know, is there any, you know, so it's not that I want to kick you out, but I do have to give to others at that time. I hope somebody can say it more diplomatically than me, but...
Well, I think you make a fair point, and it actually feeds straight into the second one of our plus fours that I think is really important, which is, although we call it phone a friend, it is about investing in relationships,
yeah,
and particularly those relationships with close friends and family. So, yes, we should extend the spirit of Christmas to those who are perhaps not close friends and family, but people who are in need of some comfort or some company. But equally, this is a time for families. And your point's well made there, Glyn. I think there are relatively few times of the year when we do really, really prioritise the need to be with our loved ones at Christmas.
Now, the last few Christmases, Rick, we've spent an hour together on Christmas mornings, haven't we? You know, actually, you, myself, and your eldest lad, Sam, have had an hour at Mass on Christmas morning, which we all really enjoy. But I have always got it in my mind that after Mass, I'm going back to my family all day. And that's part of the magic of giving an hour to God and giving an hour to you and my friends, you and Sam.
And I'm really glad you mentioned that. Because, you know, whilst, of course, there'll be many of our listeners who may not themselves be particularly religious, it is a fabulous experience going to any church of any faith.
It is.
At Christmas. And that, you know, it is the true spirit of Christmas, even if you don't believe in a God. You know, then the true spirit of Christmas is still about giving. It's about giving you time as yeah. much as it is about giving you money. And that's why I think the idea that we extend our time, our hospitality to those that perhaps we wouldn't normally. And here's another thought at Christmas, Glyn, and it's a tricky one, this one, but you know, sometimes over the years, you know, my experience is, you know, it's true even in my family, not everybody gets on.
Oh, yes, I know all about that.
And sometimes if just once a year you can come together, you know, perhaps at least extend the invitation, even if it's not taken up. Extend the invitation to perhaps those members of your family who don't get on particularly well.
And you haven't got to do it for all day. That's the whole thing, isn't it? You know, mix and match a bit over Christmas. But this goes back to... I think Rick was away when we did the managing expectations, didn't we, Dave, and the stoic tips, but I know Rick's listened to the podcast since then. If we know spending 10 hours with somebody is going to drive us mad, spend an hour with them. And actually you will value that hour, whereas you would probably really be quite vexed at 10 hours with them. So yeah, manage expectations. Again,
that's so important, Glyn. I do think we, you know, if we have unrealistic expectations, we shouldn't be too surprised if we end up disappointed.
Very, very true. Very true. So extend the hand of friendship to people, but have some boundaries around it. Yeah. Well, one tip I wrote about a couple of years ago, Rick. I was working for Harrods at the time. Well, I was working for Mind Health Development, who had a partnership with Harrods for a time. And I was offering some of these tips to their staff, who actually are surprised, well, not surprisingly, are very busy around Christmas. But one of the tips I gave them or asked them to experiment with, and actually the word experiment is key here, is can you find a new tradition every Christmas? You know, and when you hit the nail on the head and get one everybody likes, you can repeat it time and time again. If it doesn't go down brilliantly, you don't repeat it the following year and you experiment with another one. It can be anything like it could be trying to go to Mass on a morning or going for a walk after dinner, or instead of having turkey that you've had for 25 years or more, you have goose. You try the goose for 1 year, see if that's a new tradition. But it also adds an extra element of excitement and I don't quite have the words, but you know, where suddenly there's an extra dimension to look forward to at Christmas, you know, and maybe people can get behind it. And it might, and because you haven't got to repeat it, even if it was a flop, it could be a happy flop.
I think that's great, Glyn. I think it's actually embracing two things. So it's embracing the traditional elements of Christmas that you wouldn't want to change, because those are lovely. Those are the things that we built up over many, many years with people who we love. And because it's only done at Christmas, so, for example, mulled wine, perhaps.
Oh, mulled wine.
Yeah, we might not drink in the height of summer, or in fact, any other time of the year, or pigs in blankets.
Oh, my favourite.
It can be anything that you just do at Christmas, then that actually heightens the pleasure. But I do like the idea of perhaps trying a new tradition and introducing things into your Christmas experience.
We've been trying it in our household for years now, and I won't name them all, but I know the ones that have worked, and I know the ones that haven't. But the ones that haven't and haven't been repeated, they're not negative memories. There's always something cheerful about. The kids will go, "Remember when Dad tried to get us to do so and so?" You know, I'm glad he doesn't make us do that anymore. Well, that's all right, but they look back and see Dad was trying. You know, and so they know Dad loves Christmas, and they look forward to Christmas even more because they know it's a time I'm really, really happy.
And that's another fantastic thing we shouldn't forget in the spirit of Christmas. Christmas is for all of us, you know, every one of us, no matter how old, how young, you know, what faith, what religion. The more we can invite people from other faiths and other religions to celebrate with us, it's a great thing to do. So again, it's another way of extending. But you mentioned children there, Glyn.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, you know, who are some of the main beneficiaries of the magic and spirit of Christmas. And this is where I put out a bit of a plea almost, Glyn, to people who are divorced
at
Christmas. Please, please, put the children first. Just, even if you don't get on terribly well with your ex, for that one day, you know, let's all try and get on. Even if it means swallowing hard and accepting perhaps you're not going to see as much of your children as you would like, that's what they want to do, they want to spend more time at your partner's house. If that's their choice, you don't want them to remember Christmas for the wrong reasons.
If they see you make Christmas work, they're more likely to make it work when they're adults. You know, now, if you are a divorced couple, we want to hope our children learn from that and don't get divorced. But if they can see people making if they can see people making conflict work, you know, or times when conflict might be even worse, they go, but our parents always got that day right, you know. That's got to be a good thing. I mean, a happy marriage is better than a happy divorce. But if we have got to separate, if we can make the separation happy, Rick, then that's got to be the second best option.
Absolutely spot on there, Glyn. And I think, obviously, the book I wrote on that is available via the website. But one of the key principles is exactly what you've said, Glyn. You know, if you can't have a happy marriage, the next best thing is to have a happy divorce. And, you know, Christmas is not a time to decide that you're going to fall out with your partner and actually ruin what could be a lovely day for your children.
Rick, I'm mindful of the time. I know I've spoken to you on this subject a number of times before, and I know you've got other tips on the spirit of Christmas. I think maybe we've got to prioritise an article on the website about this. So do you think we could get that produced over the next week or so, Rick? I know you've written stuff before. Can we make something happen?
We have to, Glyn, because this is such a special time of year, and we don't want the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of goodwill, and the spirit of kindness to be lost.
And in the spirit of goodwill, Rick has been allowed to plug his books for the last 2 months on our podcast, free of charge. Dave, you're sitting next to me. You're much bigger than Rick. I think you can force his arm here. How about we make him sell all of his books for December free of charge, the ebook versions? How about that? What do you think, Rick?
Well, I can hardly do a podcast on the spirit of Christmas and say no. So that sounds like a great idea, guys.
So, Dave, you're the technical genius. Can you sort that out, mate?
Yeah, in the spirit of Christmas, we can give a gift to everybody of these wonderful books for free. Well, join us next time.